People of Cornerstone, let's pray. Holy God and Father, you have spoken to us through the generations. You have sent voices crying out in the wilderness. You have sent us the words of an overjoyed new father and expectant mother. You have sent us the assurance of a condemned man on a cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would hear your voice as we read your holy word. Amen. Today, we'll be hearing from two passages of Holy Scripture, and so I would like to encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, first coming from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel." Hear also these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. That's a lot of threes. "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots and divided his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise.' These, my friends, are the very words of God. Thanks be to God." Today is a very special day in the church year. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Knowing that, how in the world are we supposed to celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We're Americans, for crying out loud. We don't have kings. We don't want kings. We don't even like kings. But if you are like me, soon our stomachs will be trying to recover from our Thanksgiving feasts, where we will all stuff ourselves with helpings of turkey and ham covered with gravy, rich mashed potatoes, stuffing, biscuits, buttered carrots, corn, and green beans. And then we'll top it off with some pecan, apple, pumpkin, or apple pie, with a healthy dose of nice snacks, leftovers, and who knows whatever else scattered throughout the day. My mouth is already starting to water from thinking about all that tasty food. Friends, we may not like kings, but we sure can eat like them. In many ways, this Thanksgiving feast celebrates the pilgrims who came to this great land to escape what? A king! The pilgrims came to this land to get away from the oppression and the tyranny of a ruthless king. As the years went by and our country came more formally into existence, our founding fathers made a noticeable, conscious, and deliberate decision that kings or queens would not rule this great land. Even though pretty much every other nation or assembly of people up until that point had been ruled by kings and queens. So, given our nation's history, along with this Thanksgiving feast that is going through our minds and will be in our stomachs, how are you and I supposed to celebrate Christ the King Sunday? Well, I would suggest we need to make a critical and pivotal distinction between kingship, as it is usually experienced in this world, and the kingship of Jesus. In this world, a king or queen, or at least our image of a king or queen, is usually someone who lives a life of sheer luxury, who's waited upon by servants day and night, who are there for the king and queen's every beck and call, who sits on gilded thrones, wears fancy clothes, and gives their arbitrary will upon their people, who are often left so cannot defend themselves from the harshness of this world and to make ends meet. It was precisely from this type of king or queen that the pilgrims fled, whom our founding fathers rightly rejected. But according to the holy word of God, that is not at all what a biblical king is, or what a good king does. According to the holy word of God, a king is more like a shepherd, as we heard from our first reading of Holy Scripture today, from 2 Samuel. In fact, David is, for the Jewish people, a model of a good king, even though David did many things wrong. David's life throughout the Holy Scriptures reveals to us that a king, on earth anyway, has responsibilities before he has rights. A biblical king has three very precise responsibilities. First, a king is responsible for leading his people into battle and defending them. Not by sending troops to go and fight while the king stays at home and sleeps in his castle protected, but rather by the king leading his army into war to protect his people. A second responsibility is that a king is meant to care for the poor and those who lack life's essentials. And then a third responsibility of a biblical king has is the care for the sick, the widows, the orphans, and those who are downcast or unjustly downcast. A true biblical king is meant to care for those from some misfortune. They find themselves victims of great need. These three tasks, and only these three tasks really, are the tasks of an excellent king, at least according to the holy word of God. These responsibilities help define real authority. Authority is not about wielding power or imposing our will upon someone else. Instead, real biblical authority is entrusted to someone to lead those people with care and biblical fulfillment, holy fulfillment. Jesus, of course, my friends, is the fulfillment of everything that the Holy Scriptures tell us about a right and biblical king. While on earth, Jesus didn't sit on a golden throne, beckoned with jewels. In his life here on earth, his throne was the rough-hewn wood of the cross. Jesus' clothes were not made of luxurious purple and gold fabric. In fact, upon the cross, upon his throne, he had no clothes at all. Throughout Jesus' days on earth, he reached out to, extended help to, and sought out the most in need, the poor, the sick, the lonely, the mangled, and those that were just cast aside. Upon the cross, upon his throne, Jesus himself does a battle with the greatest enemies of humanity, the devil, sin, and death. He didn't send angels to fight for us on his behalf while he himself stayed at home in heaven. No! Instead, Jesus took on human flesh, came down from heaven, and went to war with the devil and sin, and destroyed their powers for his people, for us, for on our behalf. And by Jesus' glorious resurrection, he has forever triumphed over death for us, so that death would have no hold over us. That right there, that is our Lord. That is our King. That is our God. He doesn't wield power, impinge upon our freedom, and rule with an iron fist. Instead, Jesus rules with a pierced heart and a crown of thorns. And by his love, truth, and power, Jesus is trying to lead you and me to true happiness, truth, freedom, and the fullness of life. So, what does this have to do with you and me right now, today? What are you and I supposed to take away from this day, Christ the King Sunday? Well, two things come to mind. One has to do with our actions, and the other has to do with our hearts. Every person here who has been baptized and called by God has been made a sharer into Christ's kingship. That means that the same responsibilities, those three responsibilities that a biblical king have, we share in and have. That means that God calls you and me to defend and, even more so, expand God's kingdom, people, and church here on earth. Sharing in God's kingship means that we are very interested and active in caring for the poor. And finally, being sharers of God's kingship, we are a people who take care of the sick and downcast wherever they are found. These three things are not options for a true Christian. Friends, it is wonderful that we, as a church, have been so involved in so many drives, whether it concerns food, winter clothes, or something else. Hopefully, we will all give as generously as possible to help the poor and build God's kingdom and church here on earth. And in a few more days, you'll have another opportunity for this come our Thanksgiving Day service. While it is essential for Christians to give to such ministries, these are not things that we are meant to do only in certain seasons of the year. This is intended to be the constant disposition of our whole lives. We are meant to continually be asking God to open our eyes and our hearts and our whole lives to see those around us who are in need. Then reach out and help them however we can. Sometimes the only way that we can do that is by giving them an encouraging word, sharing some of our time with them, praying with them, and giving them our friendship. To reflect God's kingship in our lives also means that just as a king leads his people out into battle and defends human life and human dignity, that means that God calls you and me to be at the forefront of that battle, to care for human dignity and to save human life and to stick up for God's church and God's ways and God's holy word. This means, my friends, that we can't stay on the sidelines with anything that degrades or ends human life. Wherever human life is found, from the womb to the tomb, we can't sit on our hands and we can't keep our mouths quiet as Christians. Since we share in Christ's kingship, we are called to care for, speak out on behalf of, and to get involved in defending not only God's holy word, God's ways, God's church, and even excelling God's kingdom. But we are also called to defend all of human life and all of human dignity, no matter where human life is found, since it was made in the image and likeness of God. But perhaps before we ask where we are meant to serve or who we are meant to serve, today, on Christ the King Sunday, we are called to reflect upon something even more basic. That is the state of our hearts, the state of our lives. Make no mistake, a king rules. That's what a king does. And today is a day that challenges you and me to ask ourselves these very questions. Who rules my life? Who rules over my money and belongings? Who rules my will? Who rules my time? Who rules my heart? Who rules my desires? Who rules yours? Is it you? Is it some political party? Is it some form of entertainment? Or is it Jesus? Is God really first in our lives? Would we rather spend time with God and with God's church rather than doing something, some other thing, whatever it may be? Is Jesus my king? Is Jesus your king? Unless he is, then you and I will settle for too little or for something vastly inferior. When Jesus is king over our lives, individually and communally, amazing things will happen because his kingdom will more fully be established here on earth. our hearts and our lives will be along with the heart of the King. People will be changed, given hope, and saved. Isn't that what we want? For God's will and kingdom to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So let's pray for that today. That Jesus, the King of all creation, will help us to surrender ourselves ever more fully to Him so that He can reign ever more fully in our lives, in our church, and throughout Pella. And so that He, God, our King, can lead us and others to the fullness of life and freedom that He wants for His people, for His children, for not only you and me, but for others as well. And after we pray, then let's get involved. May we go to war for God. May we be a help in getting God's world back for His glory and for the benefit of all of God's creation. For Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is King. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, sharers of God's kingship, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, through the lordship and kingship of your Son, Jesus Christ, the powers and dominions of the world obtain their purpose, and creation finds its meaning in you and in you alone. Reveal to the world the gracious and ultimate rule of Christ. End all hostility among the nations and bring us soon to His glorious, peaceable kingdom through Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Praise be to you, our Lord, our God, and our King. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.